a Rayo Original Podcast.
Dr. Nicola Conlon now joins us. She is a science woman, scientist with a PhD in science.
Damn.
Michelle Deswart.
Yes.
Your biological age.
Wait, hold on. Okay. No, go ahead.
Is. Hello and welcome to What's My Age Again, the podcast where we try to answer two very simple questions. What makes you feel young? What makes you feel ancient? Each week, a guest takes a biological age test to find out how their lifestyle has affected them on a cellular level. And we get nosy about everything from their sleep routines to their party pasts. Hot. This week's guest is the incredible Michelle Deswart. You might know her from her stand-up, her acting, or even her recent hit TV show, Spent. Michelle was scouted as a model, age 19, and before she knew it, she was strutting for Gucci and Burberry. But what came with that glamorous exterior was a lifestyle full of chaos, wild parties, jet lag, and drugs. She's lived in shelters, she's been homeless, and she's had a six-pack in LA and silk pajamas with no home to wear them in. But what has all of that done to her biological age? We're about to find out from my good friend, Michelle Deswart. Michelle.
Catherine.
What's it like being the prettiest girl in the world?
It is a struggle.
Yeah. Actually, I imagine it is.
Every day.
Well, because you're 44 now.
I'm 44.
You absolutely don't look it.
Thanks. I have done a lot of sorcery.
Or is it sorcery or is it just being non-white?
No, it's not. It's sorcery. And also, thank you. Obviously, I hope the sarcasm is felt when I say, yeah, it's great. I think a bit of genetics, but I think also I've been doing just stuff to my face since I was 27.
Okay. Yeah. Because you started modeling at 19.
Started modeling at 19.
And we were having a little chat in the corridor where I think you might have facial dysmorphia.
Yeah, I reckon, definitely.
Which is fine. If you enjoy the facials and like the creams, then that's good. But the rest of the world sees an absolute 12 out of 10.
You know what it is? It's because I think at 21, I think when you start off modeling, people think that you're just like, oh my God, yeah, you're just like, you're gorgeous. And like, yeah, you're with everyone else who's also the most gorgeous person from where they're from. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, at 27, I was never that sort of preoccupied with my looks, to be honest.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? And I had a mum who was always like, you know, make sure you say please and thank you. And if people are being nice to you, it's like you have this currency, you know, use it well because it won't be there forever, bitch.
Oh, yeah, because you knew really young that you were cute.
Yeah, but just cute. I was told I was cute. And also, I think a lot of mixed race kids get told they're cute. Do you know what I mean? At 27, my agency called me in and they were like, we've made an appointment for you. We've all had a chat. We've all had a meeting. We've made an appointment for you. And I was like, for what? And they were like, we're going to send you to Pat Wexler to get some fillers and Botox because we think you could do a little freshen up. And I was mad for about 5 whole minutes. And then I was like, oh my God, who is she? Wow.
And this is in the UK.
This is in New York.
Because I was going to say this feels like a toxic American thing to do.
And yeah,
15
completely.
Years ago, we weren't really on all of the Botox and fillers in the UK yet.
No. Yeah, I was level one. And I kind of want to say, like now when I'm on stage and talking to like audience members, especially with, because I've just had all my filler dissolved and it took ages. And it will never all be dissolved.
Well, because this is what they don't tell us. So you and I, we are level one. Even though I was not a model, I was in North America of the generation that girls were not waiting until they were older to get Botox.
No.
And still people conflate Botox and filler. They don't know the difference.
Yeah,
and
they're like, oh, you've got just Botox in your lips. Yeah. I'm like, shut the
fuck up. I know. But at like 20, loads of my friends had breast implants. Loads of my friends in Toronto were getting fillers for sure. And I wanted those lips. Mm. And I went in for the fillers. And they told us at that time, oh, it lasts 3 months, 6 months, gone. And now they're seeing an MRIs. So you had your fillers dissolved. Firstly, why?
Because I went overboard. And the thing is, it accumulates.
Yeah.
You don't realize. And that's kind of where I was joking, saying I've got like face dysmorphia.
Yeah.
Which weirdly didn't ever affect my body. That I was never fussed about. And you would think with modeling, I'd have some like big food issues. I have zero.
That's good.
But I think I had a dis- distorted view of how I looked. One, I saw myself airbrushed. I was, you know, now everyone sees themselves with a filter. Mm-hmm. Back then, I would always see these airbrushed versions of myself. And I was always, you know, criticized. People tell you exactly what your good side is, what your bad side is, what you need to work on. Don't turn that way because that's not your best angle. And yeah. So you just become acutely aware and you do become a bit obsessed with like, well, why didn't I get that job? And then I think aging starts and you're just like, oh, no, I'm not having none of that. But weirdly, smoking fags, mm-hmm. mainlining bacon.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? Just like not living a healthy life,
no.
but expecting to look glowing. The delusion of it all is what is really worrying. So anyway, enough fillers. Oh my God, can I fix these jowls with fillers? You can't. It's a scalpel jobby. You can't do any. It's just like, so I just went overboard. And then I looked at myself one day in the mirror and I went, fuck.
And I think that's what women our age are realizing, is that you can do all these fun things when you're young. You can let the filler stack up and smoke the fags and eat the bacon and la la la. And then you realize, oh, I've stored all of that somewhere and it's showing now.
Yes.
And the filler never goes away.
It never goes away. And that's what I was trying to say before. That's what I tried to explain to younger audience members. I'm like, you're doing all of this stuff to your face now. It's not ever going to leave and it's going to look dated. Yeah. Like, do you remember when we used to chat about Katie Price, about how we could tell exactly where she was in her career by what part of, what level of like, you know, tweakment she was in?
It's like
you
the Kardashians as well. It looks like you're watching it in reverse.
Yeah.
Because as the seasons go forward, they get younger looking, they get better treatments and different money.
Right. Yeah. And I always went to really good people because
it was
free fashion. But I'm like, some of these things that you're doing, you can't I had a lump, like just one lump that I used to try and massage the hell out of. Now it's kind of worked, but I had to, you know, just like weird little dodgy, oh, I'll just do that. And, you know, before I filmed Spent, because I knew I couldn't get any Botox because I was like, you know, got to act as we've acted together. And it's all we spoke about while we were filming.
I love that there are people who train, you know, they go to drama school, they're at RADA and they're like, this is my craft. And you and I are like, I have to be an actress tomorrow. No Botox. And I'll be able to move my face. Yeah. That's all it takes.
But all we would do is sit down and just like look at all the things we were going to get done as soon as we wrapped. Yeah, do you remember we'd just sit on our lunch breaks and just be like, oh, look at that. Yeah, I want to go. Have you seen this, doctor? Yeah, amazing.
Yeah. Nicole Kidman's doing amazing. She hasn't moved her face in a film for the last 10 years at all. So
no.
Okay.
Catherine Ryan.
So here's where you are now.
Right.
You've had all the fillers dissolved.
There's still some lurking about.
But okay. Yeah. And they've learned that because filler, or like usually hyaluronic acid, but you don't know exactly what it's going to be. Sometimes it has more like kind of gritty particles in it. I don't know everything that they're doing, but presumably you just had the hyaluronic acid, whatever it's called. That is a water binding molecule. As you get older, it doesn't replace lost volume. It like puts volume where there never was any. You can get lost in the game. Hopefully you can get it dissolved without too much scar tissue, which women over 40 are learning, and we're learning to be young from the inside out.
Yeah.
We're learning that this filler was a fool's errand for us. Mm-hmm. It has backfired.
Yeah.
We all got lost in the game.
Yeah.
White women with tan, with fake tan, with bleach, and with filler, we got lost in that game.
We got lost in the game. I can only say it's sort of like smoking a joint and plucking your eyebrows in a magnifying mirror. It feels like you're doing a great job. And then you stand back and you're like, wow, what did I do?
Our generation also got lost in the eyebrow game.
Yeah, we got lost in the eyebrow game as well. What are you going to do?
So then what are you doing to stay young now?
I mean, now I am, the way I'm trying to turn this shit around, but it's just vitamins. Vitamins, I spend so much money on vitamins. As you know, I used to be a big drug taker.
Yeah.
And I pound for pound, I think we're pretty much on to the same amount.
I feel like addicts, no disrespect towards addicts at all, I see them transition into new addictions all the time, especially into adulthood.
Yeah.
They'll be addicted to exercise or they'll be on these shakes or something. Yeah. So you've got vitamins now.
I've always taken like green vibrance or like green shakes, like before AG1. That is one thing I've been quite consistent with for like over a decade. I've always done that.
And what's in those? Like algae and spinach? I don't know, Matt. Listen,
about 90 pounds worth of green shit.
Green. Okay. Yeah. Green.
So yeah, it's got spirulina and this, that and whatever. And so I take that as a probiotic.
Every day?
Every day, most days. If I, like, I might miss a day here and there.
That's very good.
But I take a lot of vitamins and I reckon I spend, and this is, you know, a privilege to have. Yeah, I spend a lot of money on vitamins and stuff.
No one's saying that about drugs. No one's like, I spend a lot of money on cocaine. It is a privilege.
It is a privilege.
I love how grown you are now.
I know.
It is a privilege to have the vitamins. Which which ones are you taking? Vitamin D?
I take vitamin D.
Yeah.
I think
how
it's
many
called
IUI?
What's IUI?
It's like the international unit of something. It's like how they measure.
Girl, I take three of everything.
Oh, okay.
So I don't care. But I mean, I was the same when I took drugs. Do you know what I mean? Someone be like, do you want an E? I'll go, RFT, thanks. I'm okay. Not like you. I've been in training. So I take three vitamin Ds, K2 mark something.
Okay.
Someone should know what I'm chatting about. Mm-hmm. I take krill oil.
What's that, like a fish?
It's like omega, okay. An omega thing. I take B12. I take zinc. I take this other thing that's like for your brain called Bibo Ginkgo or something.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, I take that.
So for focus, I think.
Yeah, I take that. And I'm on HRT, so yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why? So did you notice symptoms of perimenopause?
Yeah.
And what were those?
Intense rage might punch you in the face. So this happened. I've only been on it since June.
Okay.
But I could have gone on it earlier, to be honest. I could have gone
on it
earlier.
They don't tell us enough, and some women never go on it.
Girl. Obviously, you don't want to admit that because you just like, I was like, I'm 44, like... You know, I even say on stage, I'm like, I'm 44. I've got like at least 7 years left of this party pussy. Like, mm-hmm. Go away. I'm bleeding all okay. the time.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm like so moist.
Yeah.
So much blood. Shut up.
Yeah.
And then I started to like connect all these like little dots of like, I thought it was the filming schedule because I'd been working consistently since I come back.
Yeah.
Since I'd done your show. Thank you for saving my life. I would never be able to repay you. Hopefully you'd never ask. But, I was just working so much and doing so many things. I thought some of the stress was to do with that. My therapist, when I was about 40, was like, I think you need to go on antidepressants. And I was like, I don't feel depressed.
Mm.
Like, I think it just feels very context-based. I don't feel depressed. Then I went to my friend's 40th and I was like, I was not myself. Like, I was like, these bitches are getting on my nerves. I think I said to my friend at least three times, I might punch you in the face if you don't get out of my way. Like, she was being a particular diva at the time, but she can, you know, it's her birthday. Do you know what I mean? But I don't like those people.
I don't like the birthday month people. It's my birthday week.
Dude, and it went on for so long.
Yeah.
And then we was in a WhatsApp group.
You're 40. Enough.
And also just like the WhatsApp group of like, oh, what locket shall we get? I was like, I don't fucking care. But, you know, obviously. So anyway, after that, and then I'd finished the press for Spent, I was like, why am I still mad? And then I started looking at stuff online and I was like, oh, plus this is what did it. I got cystitis. And I hadn't had cystitis since I was like 20. And I got it twice in 1 month. And I was sleeping with this guy, we were using condoms. So I was like, what is going on? And I went and got a sexual health check.
Yeah.
Because I was convinced. And they were like, you got cystitis. I was like, this can't be right. You know, like I was almost disappointed I didn't have it.
Well, because now they've linked BV to men.
Right? Uh-huh. I mean, I'd always known, coming, trying to finger move them tube hands. Anyway, so then I was like, what the hell? Started looking up all the symptoms and I was like, oh, I kept on waking up in the night at like 3 a.m., like pissed off. I couldn't even drink water. Like if I drank water, I may as well have just stood at the toilet and poured the bottle down the toilet. Because as soon as I drank, I was like just constantly going to the toilet.
And this is a symptom of perimenopause.
All symptoms of perimenopause. Plus I was like, so I'd come off the antidepressants because I was like, yeah, it's fine. I was like drinking a bit more. Like I was like, I'm not sad. Like the way I used to handle these things was like part of escapism.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm not, I don't feel like I couldn't be happier, really. Life is good. Mm-hmm. So anyway, then I started like looking up all the symptoms and I was like, oh my God, yes, my shoulder hurts. Wait, is that called frozen shoulder? Is that a sign of perimenopause? The bottom of my back is killing me. Cystitis, what the hell? Going to the toilet all the time. I wasn't having what I thought was hot flushes, but if I turn up late for somewhere, I would sweat profusely and I couldn't stop. Like I was like getting to places early because like I was like, my body needs to cool down.
Sure.
Went to a private OBGYN. Lucky for me, it was a black woman. I walked in there and I was like, sis. And she went, yeah. I was
like, that's the shorthand, sis. Yeah.
Yeah.
And no. See, you have named all these symptoms that I did not even know were symptoms.
Yeah. Like, and I was like, yeah, but I'm still having periods. She was like, girl, this shit goes on forever. And I started to notice that my friends that are my age, who've got teenage daughters, were having real big issues with their daughters. And I was like, this is early puberty. We're in late stage puberty.
And why does God design it that way?
So they can leave the nest and you won't be sad.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. But it was like, that is, like, I was just chatting to my girlfriends. They're like, I'm really, like, struggling with my teenage daughters. And I was like, because we're both hormonal.
Okay.
Like, we're going through crazy hormones. Aww. And so are they. And I was like, yeah, this isn't. So anyway, that is actually, not talking from me, but.
Yeah, but that is poignant and very sad and very genius of the universe to be like, okay, let's make both these age groups go mental at exactly the same synchronized period. And then they can leave the nest so they don't have babies with their uncles.
Exactly.
And they'll go far, far away.
And you don't punch them in the face.
Oh.
Magic. So the OBGYN tells me, she said, do you know that black and brown women tend to go through perimenopause about 3 years earlier than white women?
Okay.
And I was like, what? And she went, yeah. She went, but we do look younger. And I was like, sis, true.
Yeah, so why? Why do you guys get to keep the face card?
Well, because everything else is harder.
All right.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay, you can have that. Sorry.
Things take a little bit longer for us. So, like, the least you could do is, like, keep us looking fresh, bitch.
I know. That is the whitest thing I could have said.
Yeah, it is.
Why can't I have everything
exactly
for myself?
On your fucking white sofa with your white skin.
It's not fair. And I deserve better. Okay. So you went on the HRT. And this is very interesting because I have spoken to Dr. Nicola Conlon, who will join us soon, a lot about this. And estrogen is really important for retaining your youthfulness, and it's anti-inflammatory and it's really good for you.
Changed my skin.
And HRT is not just estrogen, is it?
I don't know, you know. I'm on the gel.
Vitamins.
Yeah, vitamins, bitch. I'm on the gel and I'm also on progesterone as well.
What dosage of gel? Three.
Yeah. Three pumps.
Three pumps.
Had to work my way up to three pumps.
Okay.
At first, I was like, this makes me feel crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. And then went on progesterone, instantly changed my life.
Amazing.
They call it nature's Xanax. And I was like, wow, this is amazing.
Okay,
and
great.
It genuinely changed. But also just like the quality of my skin and stuff. Because I was like, my nails are breaking. And I was like, I remember when I was on tour with you, opening for you, I remember being like, why can I hear my skin? Like, why can I hear the sound of dry? Like, what the fuck is going on?
Okay.
Do you remember? I was just being like, what is that? I can hear my skin. This is terrible.
It's the sound of perimenopause.
Yeah, looming. So I reckon I could have probably gone on it a bit sooner.
So that's the message. Like, know these signs and symptoms.
Pre-game.
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 Okay.
We pre-game for everything else.
And you spoke about your friend's 40th birthday. You're 44. Was turning 40 a moment for you? Like, how did you process that? Was it fine?
No, it's fine.
Good.
But also, I was just massively relieved. I felt the same when I turned 30. I was just like, ugh, bye, 20s. Don't let the fucking door hit your ass on the way out.
Do models go through these things maybe sooner?
I mean, I don't know, because I haven't modeled for so long. Like, I will never lose that. Yeah. I will never lose, like... It's one of those kind of identities that people are so fascinated with, even though I've been a stand-up comic for so long and I've done all of these other things. I've produced, I've acted, I've, you know, written, and but I will always, even at 44, with a voice that's, you know, as deep as this, still talk about modeling and still be asked about
it. I think that's because whatever your vocation is or your interest when you're that age, when you're still your frontal cortex is still developing. I think that writes on the canvas of who you are. It's really interesting. It paves the way for a lot of your worldview. And even though I know you've done all these other things, it's an experience that not everyone has. It's an interesting context. You have this point of view that the rest of us wouldn't have had. It's the same reason people ask me about Hooters and about being a young slag.
Yes.
Yeah. They're like, what was that? Because we all just lived in this little bubble of whatever, and yours is wild, actually.
But it is actually true. You do always get asked about that.
I know.
And you're always gracious enough to give us the tea.
I recycle the same jokes about owls. Mm. I worked in an owl sanctuary. It's fun. But also, like, it sucks when you're in your 40s and like, how was Hooters? And you just know, like, oh, I'd never be allowed back. But what I mean is you're too old for your job kind of universally at 25.
Yeah.
And now you've moved into something that is so much about your authenticity and your voice and your, you know, your comedy and how smart you are. There's not really an expiration date on this job. Yeah. Even though you're front facing and you're on camera.
I mean, it's why I chose it. I remember thinking in my late 20s, thinking I want to do stand up. But I also was quite like, I want to do something that is the complete opposite of what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Like that doesn't rely on the way I look at all. And I'm sure there's a million white male comics out there that are like, you fucking, lucky for you. That's what you think. But it's a great equalizer, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Comedy. So yeah, no, turning 40 for me, I didn't really go through anything other than like, I didn't really think about it.
And do you look forward to, like, you think you'll be the same 50, 60, 70, or is there a number that frightens you a little bit?
It's more just health. You know what I mean? You want to still be able to like run up the stairs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I go to Pilates now, like a lot. That's something I started in my 40s. Like, I'm big into reformer and strength training because those are things that I know are important in these years. Like your 40s, muscle mass. You lose it, you ain't getting it back. Balance. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You want your feet to have muscles in them, your ankles to have, like, but beyond it being like, because let me tell you, like, I didn't really used to work out before. Working out in your 40s is so depressing because nothing actually changes.
Okay.
There is no six pack. There's not even a fucking hint of one. All that's happened is I'm the same weight and it has just redistributed itself ever so slightly to other places that are slightly more favorable. Huh. But I have not lost a pound.
Okay.
But what was important to me was like, I need to be stronger.
And you're absolutely right about that. And what I think that I'm learning from speaking to you and knowing about your party past, which we should get into, is that maybe I missed a trick not doing that. Like, I was never big on the party scene. I never really drank too much. I've never, ever taken any street drugs.
And that really makes me sad. I would love to do mushrooms with you.
I will one day. I've done it backwards, I think. Like, I hope to do MDMA when my children are old enough that I don't have any responsibilities. It should be fun.
Yeah.
No? I don't.
Well, to me, you're such an authentic person. Like, you don't, you're genuine, you know? I always say, I'm like, Catherine is just very, you're a very kind person, but not necessarily warm. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you care about people and you'll go out of your way for people, but you don't pretend, you don't kiss ass.
No.
And so I can't imagine that you would enjoy doing drugs, because what it does is turn all of that on its head and you find yourself talking to someone until 5 a.m. that normally you wouldn't fart on.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
I don't want that.
Mm.
But the women that I know in my life who had fun before, they have taken that addiction, for lack of a better term, or that like tendency to overdo it. And they're doing all of the right things now. And they're beautiful like you and glowing and healthy and they're doing Pilates. Like, I was never committed enough to any lifestyle to be having a healthy one now.
But that's because I feel like you're anchored. You're someone who's always just been very anchored in themselves. So like, where we're trying to like fight our way back to like, who's the real me? Do you know what I mean? 8 years of therapy later, I'm like 44. I'm like, I should probably do some resistance training.
But I think that fight in you is going to translate into a low glycolic age. I can see it already.
Mate, the fear
Okay.
is big.
You're not looking forward to the test results?
I want to hurry up and hear him, yeah. Also, okay. I feel like I'm getting a freebie. This is something I'd pay for and I'm getting it for free. So yeah. Thank you. Thanks for that.
Well, let's talk about the things that might give a bad result.
Oh.
So you grew up in a very feminist, like female-led household.
Yes.
I know that some of those times were tough as well. Mm-hmm. And you were in and out of women's aid shelters. Yeah. And that would have been stressful, like from a very young
Definitely
age.
Definitely stressed as a pretty happy, I would say, and unaware until I was about 7, which apparently is kind of like, show me the person you are at 7 and I'll show you the adult you'll become. Oh, do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Is the saying, right? From 10 on, stressed.
Oh, no.
Like just very like, I saw some footage from like my gran's camcorder that her and her wife had sent me. And you can even see then, me at 11, I was like, I look like a depressed kid. Like, I'm very tall. I'm really trying to make myself look small. I look very anxious. But we were living in a homeless shelter at the time. Do you know what I mean? So I definitely look like I'm taking up too much space. And how I did that was then became like, you know, just, I wouldn't say a bully, but just very like quick to throw it to anybody, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that's also just growing up in a violent household, you know? You're sort of, your nervous system's so shot that you become quite emotionally flat.
So there was violence from men, and that's why they were excommunicated.
Yes, good. yes.
Jeez.
Yeah, so I think that did a lot. Also, I had a mum who wasn't interested in cooking, which now I understand, because my mum's quite young, and I'm like, she had my sister at 15 or 16, me at 21, and my brother at 31. And, you know, I come from a family, as you know, a lot of gay women, mm-hmm. and none of them are that maternal. And I can just imagine, like, I have a lot of empathy for my mum now, because I think I haven't got kids because I don't have that much patience. Mm. I don't even really like looking after myself. It feels like a chore. So I can't imagine having to cook every single day for people that don't say thank you, for people that don't let out party poppers, for people that don't get on their knees and be like, oh my God, wow, thank you so much. You're amazing. Like, it's, I don't have that in me. And I can see that I also, you know, she's like that as well. So so she just wasn't someone, she would cook, but it was like, there's your food.
Yeah.
And she would make sure there was like a vegetable on the plate, but it wasn't, she just didn't enjoy it.
There wasn't like a joyfulness from nourishing her children. She was a little bit resentful that.
She was massively resentful. Okay. Like, I'd come in, I'd be like, what's for dinner? She'd just be like, what are you making?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's a Cornish pasty in the fridge from Gangsters. Put that in the microwave, put some ketchup on it. You've eaten. Relax. Yeah. You're alive. Are you cold? No. Do you have somewhere to sleep? Yes.
So there's something about those upbringings that I like. I think it does certainly build a generation of women that hardly exists anymore. Like, if you've ever tried to hire a Gen Z for anything, they were looked after. They had meals. You know, they're like, where is it? My kids, I'm describing. Yeah. My privately educated ungrateful children that I sometimes regret. Mm. I see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Was there ever a point, speaking of children, like even in your marriage, where you thought, maybe, were you ever tempted?
Yeah, here and there. But all the women that I grew up with were so like, don't do it.
Yeah.
Everyone, like my grandma was like, don't do it. My mum was like, don't fucking do it. No. It's shit. Like
your mother.
All my aunts, my aunts, like, because they were all single mums. And so they were all like, you will end up doing the majority of the work. Do not buy into any of this like rom-com stuff that's happening at the moment, which luckily for me, most of those were white women. So it didn't really resonate.
Great.
But they were just very vocal about it. They were like, this is not for you.
I like that. That's the second time in my life that I've heard you cite racism as like a great savior, you know, like underrepresentation of black women in rom-coms. Great, saved me from a life of mediocrity, thinking there was the one and I was going to be supported by
Piss off Anne Hathaway. this doesn't mean anything for me.
Who looks great.
Who looks great.
Woo.
Oh, I don't know who's messing with her, but I would like to be messed with like that. On the face.
It's Dr. Stephen Levine.
Oh, is it?
With whom I booked a consultation in New York City.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's the one.
Oh,
the capital one, capital
Ooh,
one.
Yeah. Okay.
So no kids.
No, here and there. But also, I've had so many issues with fibroids.
Yeah.
I had another operation in August, actually. So when I went to the OBGYN, she was like, because I was like, my periods are getting really bad. She goes, I'm going to give you a progesterone coil because I think that would be better, but we need to check that you've got fibroids. I was like, I've had so many fibroids removed, and I had 6.
No.
Yeah, so it's like my 3rd operation. So even that would make it not, I've never been pregnant, but I've never had any big desire. There was a moment where I was like, I was told by a doctor that it would be really hard for me to get pregnant, mm-hmm. you know, and there'd be like a big chance of miscarriage. But I was also in like quite a dark time in my life then that I sort of really lent into it more just to get sympathy from people than I was actually bothered about not being able to have kids. Do you know what I mean? I was like,
yeah.
So, just heard it's going to be really hard for me to get pregnant. Do you want kids? That's not the point.
It's going to be almost impossible to sustain these pregnancies I don't want.
Yeah, exactly.
But you deserve sympathy. And this is another thing I think about Black women is we fetishize your strength and that denies you care and vulnerability. And it feels like you came from a long line of women who were like strong, resilient, but also resentful.
Yeah.
And then maybe they saw in you through all of your attributes, including but not limited to physical beauty, but, you know, you sound smart and funny from a young age and really resilient. Maybe that's why they deterred you so much from having children. You know, they're just like, go and fly. Like they knew
literally,
you could.
I just felt like at the time, all of the women, even on the estates that I grew up on, all the women were just like, they would all get together and they would speak so openly and so transparent. Like, I think I was really lucky to be able to hear women speak like that when I was young. Maybe a little, you know, maybe some of the conversations were a little too spicy for a young person. But in terms of women speaking about what it is to be a parent, I think it was a pretty realistic take on things. And even my friends now that are in happy relationships do most of the fucking work.
Yeah.
And I think I'd be very resentful about that. Some people aren't, and that's great for them. But I don't think I'm one of those people. I'm very petty and bitter.
They
if
are.
I want to be.
They're probably low-key resentful, and it does age them.
Mm.
Let's talk about the party days. What exactly was involved in that? When you were in New York, when you're very young, away from home, I know you talk about staying up late and being in the modeling world. Sorry again to bring it back to modeling, but it is very relevant.
Christ.
Were you doing taking like drugs and partying before modeling?
No, I used to. Well, yes.
Okay.
I used to smoke weed. Smoked weed from probably about 12 years old.
What?
And then I was allowed to smoke weed in the house from about 14. So I smoked weed every day. And then I started modeling, still smoked loads of weed. Used to take E's.
Mm-hmm.
Like gotten like the last of like the E culture like in the 90s, which I really kind of felt like the party was over then, but okay. I was still like, I've just discovered E, and everyone else was like, we are done, our backs hurt. And then I went to New York. I knew that drugs were around, especially like cocaine and class A's and stuff like that, but because I'd grown up in an area where I'd always seen the worst possible outcome from doing drugs,
class
A drugs. I was very like anti all of that. I was like, I'm definitely not putting anything up my nose. Like there's no way I would sniff coke or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Used to do all the shows. Loads of people were doing drugs. I never touched any. And then I went to this, it was called Brazil. Like when the agency would send you to Brazil, but it was basically fat camp, right? And I went to this like detox treatment in Brazil before the shows to like slim down a bit, blah, blah, blah. They would just like send you up mountains and like fucking chuck some birdseed at you. And
oh,
you was
God.
Just like, dude, I scaled the roof there to get a burger and I got in trouble. Like, not the roof, a wall.
Yeah.
I was just like, I'm done, I need meat. And it's like someone found prunes in my room and like told someone, they were like, you can't be eating prunes. And I was just like, this is bullshit. Anyway, did that retreat, came back. There was like this big party on the West Side in New York. At the airport in Brazil, I drank like 4 JD and Cokes, had a club sandwich, got off the plane, did my first line of Coke. And I remember doing a line of Coke and my friend was like, oh, do some. And I was like, oh, no. And she was like, you're so boring, just do some. And I remember doing it and I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm into it. Let me do another one. And then, you know,
okay.
Cut to 10 years later.
So for 10 years you took cocaine.
Well, when I say, like, I always sort of play it up more than I've, you know, for the joke of it all.
Yeah.
But I never missed a job. I never did drugs before I had to work. I definitely didn't do drugs while I was working. I think it's easy to normalize drugs when all your friends are doing mm-hmm. them, because that's your bar, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, but yeah, I would say I did a lot of recreational drugs.
But in a way that you never got lost down a dark path, you maintain your professionalism, you were able to be functional.
Yeah, to a point. I was telling my mum and I guess like my godfather kind of person in my life the other day, we all went to the park and I said, and we were talking about like fashion because he used to work in fashion. And I said, yeah, I said, look, you know, as far as coke, I said, I never sucked dick for coke. I sucked dick while I was on coke, but I never sucked dick for coke. Do you know what I mean? Which my mum thought was hilarious, but also very true.
There is a distinction. Mm. Absolutely. Mm. All right. And then your stress levels, presumably after Fat Camp, went down. You had a wonderful life. You're really successful. It was all going well.
Just escapism, escapism, escapism. Yeah. I think there was a lot of things happening from my childhood that were unaddressed. Mm-hmm. I started modeling. I felt like I should be really grateful that this auspicious fortune had been bestowed upon me, and it meant that I could never complain about anything that had happened before because I was very, very lucky.
Okay.
You know, to get plucked out of where I was living and be sent to New York and have this opportunity to live a different life. But, you know, as time goes on, one, I didn't love modeling. Two, I don't like being touched and shit. And there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it all just started to, I was in denial, I was avoidant. And so I had a lot of fun, but I don't think I had many like meaningful connections.
Okay. And then at what age did you access therapy and start to get
35. So yeah, started therapy at 35.
There's time and place though. Like if you're not,
you got to be ready.
Receptive for it. Mm. Okay. And then what age was the divorce? Because that is always counted as like the most stressful experience that any adult can go through, and it ages you terribly.
It does. Oh my God. It's the admin of it.
Yeah.
I'm buying a place now and I feel like it's the reverse. You know, sort of like you're doing all the admin now for the happiness later. Mm-hmm. But like with getting married, you're sort of like, this is going to be great. And it's like, I hope you love admin as much as you love this person, because that's what you're going to be stuck with.
Yeah.
So that was, I don't know, maybe like 38, 39.
Mm-hmm. That's a good age.
What, to get divorced?
Yeah.
There it is.
I think you come into your 40s having overcome that, and then you're like fresh and you can start again, and it's a new chapter.
Yeah. I just wasn't in my right mind when I got married.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
And I like when women can admit that, because there seems to be this push toward a narrative now of, well, it was God's blessing, and if it hadn't happened, the butterfly effect of where I am now never would have happened, and I'm glad that I made that mistake. And then there are women who go, no, I wish I hadn't done that. It was really, you know, I made a mistake, and then it was a very expensive mistake that took a long time to rectify.
Yeah, it definitely used up the few marbles I have left. Yeah. It definitely, but also I think I had to get out of blaming. I was like definitely into like, I've been wronged and people have wronged me and I had a bad childhood and that means that's why I behave like this. You know what I mean? And so I think that was important, that like I needed to hit some sort of ego death, as it were, to get my head out my ass.
This is all looking very good for the results, Michelle.
Is it?
Yeah, you seem to be like really honest and self-actualized, and you're doing the Pilates and you're taking 3 of each vitamin.
Mate.
What about the vaping? That concerns me.
Well, you can hear in my voice, this is someone who I've spent the weekend smoking fags. So I was
fags,
vaping.
Back on the fags.
Hey, listen, no judgment, all right?
I'm happy about the fags.
Now, I'll say this.
Okay.
I have stopped and started. You know, I've been hypnotized multiple times.
Yeah.
It has worked and then not worked. And yeah, man, I was an early vapor as well because I lived in America. So I was probably one of the early stages of vaping. When it first came out, I was all over it.
When did they start? Of course they started it. Yeah. I didn't know that.
I would say like the sort of maybe 2013, I want to say.
And was it marketed to teenagers the same way that it is
now?
No,
it was all nicotine flavors.
Okay.
And they were delicious. Mm. And it had like a higher nicotine count than is legal in this country. Anyway, I've stopped and started so many times. This time last year, I didn't smoke for about a year, or vape, and then started again when I was doing post-production for Spent.
Yeah.
Yeah, started vaping like I meant it.
All right, so that's the only vice really that still remains.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And I drink wine.
Yeah.
You know, whatevs.
I think that's fine because it's fermented.
Yeah.
And I think that's meant to be on some level anti-inflammatory. I make all of these medical claims and then Dr. Nicola comes out and tells me I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Would you like to find out your biological age now?
I am so nervous about it. Yes.
I think it sounds very positive from what I've heard. You know, there were some tough times.
Yes.
Party days. But you swapped the vodka for vinyasa.
Yes.
That's good. You lived in the shelters, true, but you seem to have squared that all away and you have empathy for the people who put you there. You didn't have kids. That was smart. You're a comedian now. That's fun. Your lifestyle's great.
These cards are cracking me up.
Yeah. I never went to the cards. I just knew this stuff. Oh, let me ask you this. You have said you'll happily spend £100 on face cream, but you won't shell out for organic veg.
Oh, I do now.
Oh, you do now.
Yeah,
great.
That was old me.
Is there anywhere you draw the line on anti-aging treatments or is it all?
No, obviously I'd do everything.
You would.
Yeah.
Are you doing anything like hyperbaric oxygen chambers or?
No, purely because I haven't done it yet. Like, not that I wouldn't. Like, yeah, I would.
Ice baths?
Nah, I'm not fucking mental. Do you know what I mean?
You and I did some freshwater swimming.
Fuck that.
Yeah, you didn't like
it.
No. Okay. Well, let's see your biological age. Are you ready?
Yes,
I am. And I would like to invite Dr. Nicola Conlon to join us, who will interpret your results. Dr. Nicola Conlon now joins us. She is a science woman, scientist with a PhD in science.
Damn. Girl, what are you doing? You look good. Tell me you're 80 years old.
Yeah, 58 years old. Nicola, have you done your biological age?
I have.
What is it?
It's 20.
What? And did you have to get to that place?
No, but I've been in this longevity space for a long time now.
Wait, the what space?
The longevity space.
The longevity space.
Yeah, how to reverse aging.
I like this term.
Yeah. So before it became trendy.
It became trendy, the longevity space. I'm like, that sounds like a bad after party, but yes.
The longevity space.
We're in the longevity space.
Michelle Deswart.
Yes.
Your biological age.
Wait, hold on. Okay. No, go ahead.
28 years old?
Are you fucking... Yes. Sorry, are you serious?
Very good.
I'm going right to the pub. Let's get out the cocaine. Really?
16 years younger than your biological age. I think it's because, well, Dr. Nicola can tell you, but everything you told me sounds really good. You sound very centered. You've had the therapy. You're going to Pilates. You take the three of all vitamins.
I'm like, dosage? No, my friends. More.
Three.
Yeah.
Nicola,
explain yourself. What is this?
So this is a really good result, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if we'd done it maybe, you know, maybe 10 years ago.
Mate, yeah.
Yeah. And this is because
I would have made it for one. I wouldn't have turned up. Okay.
But lifestyle has a huge, huge impact on biological age. And that's the good thing because obviously you can change your lifestyle at any point and it will have a massive impact. And you did a questionnaire which looks at your lifestyle. So I've had a look at that questionnaire and honestly, like the majority of it was brilliant. So, you know, you're doing all the right things, the good diet, you're doing the exercise, strength training, love that, you know, all really, really good. You obviously know the things you're meant to be doing and you are doing them. So that is why your biological age has come out so amazing. The one thing which you probably know I'm going to say about is smoking.
Yeah.
So although your biological age came out really good, we can see like inflammatory signatures that literally only ever come up in smokers. So even when people say they don't smoke, like we can see because of this sort of signature that you see.
So that's what I thought. Tell the truth.
Yeah.
Because you know, like, that you always want to go, well, I haven't smoked for 2 days, so I'm basically a non-smoker. And I was like, let's not do this.
Yeah.
Did you? Yeah. Tick, tick, tick.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we can see that sort of inflammatory signature. And it, I mean, I don't need to lecture you. Everyone knows smoking's bad. Interestingly, the data coming out on vaping now, obviously vaping's kind of always been said as something that isn't as bad. But the data seems to suggest that it you know, we're going to start to see the same sort of issues coming out with vaping. Interestingly, looking specifically at biological age, vaping wasn't as bad for biological age as smoking was. But people that do both was actually worse than just smoking alone, which was really interesting to see these studies starting to come out. But the good news is, again, it's, you know, smoking is a lifestyle choice and it's something that is entirely reversible. Around after 5 years of stopping smoking, everything goes back to normal in terms of biological age.
Interesting with vaping, being an early vapor.
Yeah.
I can say that I think smoking is disgusting because it, you know, it smells and whatever, but there is no part of me that thinks vaping is a healthier option than smoking, because you have it in your hand all the bloody time. Like every other breath is vape.
Yeah.
You know, my sister used to call me Darth Vapor because I was just like constantly, like you go into people's houses, you're vaping. Like you never put it down. Yeah. Whereas I feel like with smoking, and I'm not saying that I think smoking's also disgusting, but what happens is I listened to the Alan Carr Easy Way to Stop Vaping about 2 weeks ago.
Who's got that one now, of course.
And then started smoking again. I was like, oh, this has worked like a dream. But yeah, I think that's really interesting about vaping and what's going to start to, you know, come out about it.
It's unregulated. Mm. People are doing it on planes. I got a vape detector for the house because the girls will just unabashedly smoke in the house and I can't, you know, it kind of disappears. It's a vapor. Like,
they're vaping.
Yeah, they're vaping.
They're vaping.
Ooh. And also I think it's on the marketing upswing, whereas Michelle and I, we were tricked by filler in the early noughties where they told us it would go away. Now we know through MRIs it never goes away. I think vaping is the same. They go, it's better than smoking. Yeah. And it must not be.
Half of these young kids would never have been smokers.
No.
Yeah.
So now when I walk around, I'm like, everyone vapes. Everyone. I went to Leeds a couple of weeks ago to do a gig and it was one giant cloud of smoke. I was like, everyone on the street is vaping. It's wild.
And we still don't know the long-term effects. And again, starting to see this data come out. But at the end of the day, you know, it's got formaldehyde, things that, you know, are in cigarettes as well.
Just saying that's making me want to vape.
Formaldehyde.
So although your biological age obviously has come back amazing, that is, again, you see little warning signals that the body almost compensates for, but it can only compensate up to a certain point. And this is why sometimes doing these types of tests, it kind of gives you a little eye opening into, okay, you know, maybe I should do something about this.
So when you say inflammatory.
Yeah.
Where?
So across the body. So this test, the way it works to measure biological age is look at levels of inflammation. And this is across the entire body. And we know the more inflammation you have in your body, the faster it will drive your rate of aging. And this is across the whole body. And if you have, say, heightened inflammation in your body, it can affect everything from your skin to internal organs, brain, everything.
It's not affecting the skin, though, look.
But and this is it. This is where it's kind of like one of those early warning things of that this is going on in your body. But your body's very good at compensating for things. Your body is very good at repairing, trying to keep on top of things. But that does go down as we get older. So, you know, it's all about everything we see as part of the aging process is starting on the inside. And the damage happens on the inside long before it then shows on the outside. By the time it's showing on the skin, that's almost like, you know, the damage is done.
Oh.
So can I ask you, right?
Yeah.
Are you looking at my results? What things should I change? We know about smoking, all right? So let's not get into that. Thank you. The smoking aside, like what other things, do you know what I mean? Like I eat a lot of butter. Like that's something that is like, I think that's
good for you.
Yeah.
But like, is there, if there was three things that you would be like, hey, this is what you can do now. Obviously, stop smoking, stop messing with nicotine in general. What would be the other things?
I mean, they're kind of boring because there are the things that we'd say all the time are good. So diet, I know that you said you don't eat that much processed food. Is that, would that be?
No, I don't eat that much. Yeah. But like certain weeks, I had a Five Guys literally.
You're allowed.
Yeah. And this is like some, you know, some people eat ready meals and, you know, constantly and don't eat a vegetable. Mm-hmm. So you obviously are not doing that. So I think that the top things that we see that really do have an impact or the diet, following something like a Mediterranean diet. So you actually have a lot of oils, healthy fats, you know, a lot of olive oil, a lot of fish, omega-3 type rich foods, amazingly good for lowering inflammation. Lots of vegetables, lots of fruits, lots of plant-based material.
No, I'm bored already.
Well, how good, I did say so it's bad, the boring it? Stuff, no, but no, it's what we know.
Yeah. And that's no offense to you, but you know, just like when someone's like, you're like,
I know.
If we could focus on olive oil though, because I have seen some videos specifically from this nutritionist who said all of eating is about, especially all of Mediterranean eating, is about getting more olive oil into you. So they'll pour it on things, on salad, they'll dip bread in it. It's all about getting more olive oil, and you shouldn't count that as a fat source or a calorie. You just want, should we be just like mainlining olive oil, drinking a pint of olive oil?
Some people will just take a, you know, to literally take it like a medicine, you know, take a,
you could have
take
three.
A couple of, 3 tablespoons.
So would that, if you was going to do one thing and make sure that it's organic, would it be olive oil? Like if you was going to buy one thing and be like, hey, do you know what, people? Spend your money on this one item. Yeah. Everything else, you can kind of cut corners. But like it's something like, would it be worth paying extra to get organic olive oil and make sure it's in a glass bottle?
You know, a good quality olive oil. Olive oil definitely has different grades, you know, so a cheaper one is never going to have the great nutrient properties as a one that's purified better. But also the other thing with organic is certain fruits and veg, you know, you get sprayed with a lot more pesticides. So things like the berries, the salad leaves, strawberries, things like that. So if you are going to look at organic, they call them like the dirty dozen, the ones that are always going to have more pesticides and things sprayed on them. Try to use those more organic than, especially if you're eating them frequently. So I think, you know, that is an important side, the diet. And honestly, I loved what you were talking about earlier about the exercise, because again, that weight training, resistance training, and it doesn't have to be crazy, but it's so important. Maintaining muscle mass is very, very important. And not just for things, you know, like physical things, but generally for whole body health, it's very important as well. And the supplements that you take, I was listening really carefully in the background.
Was there anything missing from that?
Yeah, well, you know, interestingly, you were, I think out of everyone we've looked at, probably take the most supplements. And it's always a really interesting area because a lot of people either love supplements and really believe in them or like, no, they're snake oil, you know, they're not going to have any benefit. And what we know is that actually our bodies really don't have any, they don't know what is a nutrient, what is a supplement, what is a drug. A lot of people just think a drug can have a powerful effect, but actually a lot of supplements can have some really good evidence when it comes to reversing biological age. And you named a couple that are actually really great and have some really good evidence for lowering inflammation and also biological age. The first one was you use the krill oil.
Yeah.
So that has high levels of the omega-3. Mm-hmm. Generally, most people don't, unless you eat an amazing Mediterranean diet, most people don't get enough omega-3, but we know omega-3 is very good for lowering inflammation.
And if you don't like fish and you don't want to incorporate that into your diet that much, it's good to take that one as a supplement, isn't it?
Definitely. If you're not eating, you know, a few portions of oily fish a week or even once a day,
unless we're talking fish and chips, that's oily.
Which doesn't which doesn't count. But the omegas that you're taking will be good. The vitamin D, that's another one that also has some great evidence, and good that you're taking it with K2 as well.
Yeah.
A lot of people are taking high doses of vitamin D, but it's really important that you take K2 with it, because what vitamin D can sometimes do is cause calcium to be released into the blood. And if it doesn't have the K2 there, it can get deposited in your arteries and places you don't want it. You want it going into your bones for bone health.
I'm also big on the magnesium, and I do protein like scoops. But what I want to know is, am I going overboard with the dosage?
Does she just have expensive wee?
Well, it depends, because if you say three pills, but it depends what each, you know, for each supplement.
Everything's the highest you can possibly get, and I'm on three of them.
The highest you can get. One thing, you did mention you're taking iron.
Yes.
Right. So this is an important one, because it's not always that more is better. So for something like iron, it's kind of like too little is bad, too much is bad. Mm. Too much can actually age you. So it's important to know for things like that do you actually need it? Like, are you taking iron because you've had a blood test that said you're deficient? So that's good. So some people are taking, you know, will take iron because they heard, oh, it's good, and I'm just going to take a high dose. That can actually go the opposite way and age you, because if you don't need it, it can actually be pro-inflammatory in the body.
For God's sake. Michelle needs it from all the moisture and the pussy party and the bleeding.
Exactly.
Yeah. She's bleeding.
Yeah, I'm literally bleeding all the time out of my juicy vagina.
The B12, you mentioned B12. Yeah. B12 is something that we can become more deficient in as we get older. Mm. We don't tend to absorb it as well. Again, if you've got a good diet, you're probably getting enough from the diet, but it won't harm to take B12. That's actually really good for another aspect of aging that we haven't spoken about as much, which is not inflammation, but more to do with DNA damage. So DNA damage can contribute to skin aging.
What is DNA damage?
DNA damage, that's, so in your cells, you've got DNA. It basically tells the cell what to do.
Yeah.
But as you get older, it can become damaged. So cells start to not function as well. Mm. Then that's this huge contributor to skin aging. So B12, very good for making sure your DNA is all in good working order.
I'm framing that. I'm framing that. 28 years old. That is the voice of a 60-year-old woman who smoked 20 fags every day. But 28 years, come on.
I would never change the voice, Michelle. I love juxtaposition of you, the delicate beauty with a very powerful voice. So you feel great about the number.
I feel very relieved. Thank you so much for having me on here. I was genuinely like curious and fearful. Mm. And so this is a big relief.
Will this result change how you live your life at all?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think make me more grateful for where I am now, that I've changed things around, to keep on a schedule with what I put in my body, to think about it a bit more closely. And I will spend more money on organic olive oil, which I've always thought was a scam. But now I'm ready to drop £30 on a nice glass bottle. Thank you. Yeah. So yeah, definitely.
It's the new wine.
It's the new wine, baby. It's
bottle of white,
new wine.
Bottle of red, and bottle of olive oil.
Yeah.
It's what we got to do. Well, thank you very much for being here.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you to Michelle DeSwartz for being on What's My Age Again. Michelle's life may have been chaotic, glamorous, and at times totally upside down, but the results speak for themselves. That's apparently good for you. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you next time for more science, sass, and the search for eternal youth.